with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put
it. Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend, man. I hope that you are got a big old barbecue or some grilling planned, because it's the dead of summer, and if you aren't doing it now, you're really not a grilling guy. So get some people together and enjoy this beautiful Michigan weather that we have, and you know, make some smoke in your neighborhood, right?
That's right. So last segment, we got to touch on everything we wanted to touch on, but the chicken kebabs, that was something that was really, to me, I mean, I don't know how long I've been grilling, 40 years maybe? Well, no, I was doing it even over in Hawaii. So
long time.
All my adult life, I'm 67 now, by the way.
I know.
Isn't that something?
Damn, he's old.
Dang.
No wonder he's smarter than me. He's older than me, right?
No, yeah. I think you get dumber, actually. So, yeah, we used to do chicken on little hibachis.
Yeah.
You ever use one of those?
Yeah, not too
often. Remember
often.
Those? They were yeah. they were made. They came out of
fold up charcoal grill.
No, they were cast iron.
In the 70s.
Yeah, they were cast iron.
Tiny.
They were, but I think they came out of Taiwan, basically, like the Kamados did, the big green egg and stuff
right.
like that. Those all came out of Taiwan at the time. So in Hawaii, being a young GI, that was a big purchase. I think we had to spend $30 for one.
Right.
So we would literally take them to the beach, wherever we were.
Yep.
We'd bring our charcoal, and we'd, of course, always doing teriyaki. So we'd have chicken teriyaki. We'd do kebabs.
Yeah.
And I don't remember ever checking the temperature, and we never got sick.
Right. Well, iron gut at that age.
Yeah. yeah. But a kebab and a chicken kebab in particular, you said something in the last segment that was interesting, and I didn't want to disagree with you because I used to think the same way too, but I don't know that. I guess now what I've come to like is, because I love Vidalia onions and I talk about them incessantly, I do love when that Vidalia onion or pepper rubs up against the chicken and they sort of cook together.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So if you're using a lower heat, you can keep your meat. And here's the other thing. I'm usually feeding a big bunch of people, as you are. So if I spread my food out too much on that skewer, I don't have enough skewers or enough grill space, you know. So
well,
so
I don't want a space between them, but I just want them jammed together. That's all I said. You can't don't just pack them on there so they're so tight they can touch. But you got to get the chicken done. That was
yeah,
the point.
And I think my remedy to that has been to use a lower temperature, because I do tend to pack them in, and
so you can leave them on there longer.
I don't want the chicken to burn.
Right,
that's the big question.
Right.
So if you do your vegetables a little bigger, and your meat proteins a little smaller.
It'll work.
Or you tofu, or whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
yeah. Famous story about
right.
Josh.
Just to yeah. see if we're paying attention. Yeah. Throw yeah. something yeah. in.
He brought up tofu, and I used to do it with Gray or whatever his name was. Mm-hmm. And oh man, he lit you up. So, because you were trying to be interesting, and you just said, "Yeah, and you can do tofu." Oh my God, he lit you up. But we did have.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Who knew, right?
yeah. yeah.
You'd never even eaten it. You didn't know how to spell that either.
Nor cook it.
But we did an event somewhere, and there were those guys from India next
that
to
us. That was at Fen Valley.
Yeah, and yeah, yeah. that tofu, whatever they put on it, was some kind of a harissa or a...
Redemption is what I'm talking, what
Indian,
I'm hearing right now.
Had an Indian spice on it. It was... I tried it. It was good.
Yeah.
Wow.
It looked like meat. It looked like chicken.
Yeah, it looked like meat.
It looked like bloody
something.
Chicken.
Yeah.
Anyway. Ooh.
So back to the kebabs.
No, let's leave the kebabs alone. How about we go to the beer can?
No. One thing you don't want to do is try and do it with chicken breasts.
Right.
They just if you have skinless, boneless breasts, especially, depending on what you're using for a grill or whatever, they're gonna stick.
Right, and they're going to dry out.
And it tears them apart. So back yep. to the skinless, boneless thighs. I don't know how there's any chickens walking with all the
right.
thighs we sell.
I know. I love it. I love it. So what about a whole chicken? Because I think there's a lot of listeners out there that probably do beer can chickens, or they would like to do one, but they don't really understand it.
Well, we can do that. Is that this segment?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Aren't we in segment three? And we already blew through two segments. Yes, we have.
Good, good.
I think Bob wants to talk about kebabs.
No. It's just got my name in it.
Okay.
Yeah, whole chickens. When I started selling grills retail back in 2000, I brought in a line called Phoenix, and that was it was really a slap you in the face to the Holland Grill, because Holland Grill was famous. Did you ever hear of them or see them?
Yeah.
It had one knob, you could turn it on, and it had a burner pan under the grates, and basically it was like baking your food. It would only get to about 350. You would torture a steak if you tried to do it. But the guy did such a good job at selling them, he set up dealers all over the place. Well, his manufacturer was over in South Carolina or North Carolina, and he pulled it from him and went to Mexico. So the guy's like, hey, I've got all the dyes and everything to make this grill. How about if I just make it myself? So he went to all the Holland Grill dealers and said, if you could redo this grill and make it better, what would you do? And they all said the same thing. Dual zones, make two burners, and make it variable so you can crank the heat up. So he did, and he came out with a grill he called the Phoenix. Sun is, you know, the rising.
From the ashes.
Or, yes.
Yeah, rise from
and,
the ashes.
And I sold those, and that's when I really got into, I guess, grilling in a big way, because my rep was really good. He's still a friend. And he just sold me on it, and I tried it, and it worked. Mm-hmm. And that's also when I first discovered the Sizzler. And so I used to do events down at the store. It was in Ada. It was called Fireplaces Plus, and loved selling grills. And I loved feeding people. That was the thing. But that thing would get up to 600 degrees, and it never caught on fire. And that's when I discovered beer can chickens.
Yeah.
It's a long way
to
get to
that story.
I knew we were
going to get to there somewhere, but.
Wow.
It's memory lane.
Doesn't everybody have one of those buddies that the joke's too long before you get to the punchline?
Wow. It's like cooking GPS.
It's really not a joke. It's just, I find history fascinating. And you know, you see how you develop in the grilling world or your cooking skills. And a lot of us learn it from our mothers.
Back to the chicken, Bob. How do we do a beer can chicken? We've got 2 minutes left.
I don't even know.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
So that's when I discovered the beer can holder for chicken.
Right.
And the first one I did was on that Phoenix. And it was when I opened up the lid after like an hour to go check it, I looked at it and I could hear the angels singing.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, oh, my goodness. And that was a grill in particular that had a tall enough lid that you could actually stand a chicken up on.
Right.
That's another big deal.
Yep.
But now everybody sells that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Big Green Egg has their own accoutrement for it.
Oh, you know, a lot of them do.
It's ceramic. And
yeah, it's just a little stand, and you can put, there's usually a ring in it and to open the cavity of the chicken up, but you also put a beverage of some sort, a liquid of some sort in there. Because the concept is they're cooking the ambient temperature from the grills on the outside, but you're steaming them on the inside.
I think the first guy that did it probably cut the lid off a can of beer.
Right.
And stood his chicken on it.
Yeah. Yep. And because obviously that liquid, whatever you use, you can use orange juice, you can use beer, certainly. Yeah,
and the concept was beer.
Right. Yep.
They called it beer butt chicken.
Right. Because the back end of the cavity of the chicken, you set it up, it's setting on its tail, the two legs are down. I would only make my recommendation is you want to do that on indirect heat, because if you do it right over the grill where it's hot, you're going to burn the bottom, the thighs, and the legs, and before the breast gets done on top, so you want indirect heat.
And that's why that Phoenix was so nice, because it had that pan above the burner, and it came off as a V, so your heat actually sort of tumbled around the grill, and it really did a wonderful job. It's still made, I believe MHP out of Rockford, Illinois, owns that copyright now and makes those, and you're going to spend $1,500 for it. It's not going to be cheap.
Yeah, but it lasts.
Oh, they're wonderful.
You're right. Yep, and like anything else in life, you get what you pay for. Generally, there are some ripoffs.
You still see them around, but you never see the Holland Grill around. So, here's to you for taking your product to Mexico.
Right, exactly. Many companies have done that, and now they're all coming back, which is a good thing.
How about that?
All right, you're listening to Grilling Guys. Coming up next, Well, we're going to maybe talk about chicken breast.
God only knows.
Stick with us. We'll be back.